Hello and welcome to this week's show of Fit and Chips Chats with my guest this week, Jessie Mundell. Jessie, if you don't already know her, is a pre and postnatal fitness specialist based out of Calgary, Canada. Yay, Canada. And I'm very happy to have her on the show because she's going to have some great advice for the women who listen to this show. I especially would like to talk to Jessie today about incontinence as we approach menopause and through menopause, and also talk about starting a family later in our reproductive years and how that impacts us with our hormones as well. So welcome to the show, Jessie. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to chat with you about all of this.
Yeah, and we've only met once, I think, haven't we, at the Women's Fitness Summit ages ago.
Yeah, a few years ago now, probably.
But you're my go-to person, by the way. I always send people to you because you've released a bunch of programs and coaching. You have a coaching forum, don't you? And also a certification now, am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do have a certification for fitness and health professionals who are interested and want to do better for their postnatal populations that they're working with.
Yeah. And it makes me really happy because my oldest child is approaching 15. And I remember when I just had my first child and I was like, I've got to get fit. And I just went straight into doing crunches because this was before Stuart McGill came on the scene. And well, he was on the scene, but his work wasn't published. And I was always doing planks. And then I would remember that I would get this like shooting pain in my stomach, and it was my diaphragm getting trapped in my diastasis, and it was like, what is going on here? And so it makes me so happy now that there's so much information out there. And so can we just talk about that? Can we talk about some of the complications that especially the women who are in my sort of audience, the over 35 crowd, some of the things that they might have noticed have changed in their body since having children, and then ways we can go around sort of like remedying those issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? The body really does undergo so much stress through pregnancy, through the postpartum time. If we add another pregnancy on top of that, another postpartum round, there's just a lot of things that the body has undergone physically, mentally, emotionally, hormonally. And often we are just told nothing about what we can do to support ourselves through that time period. I always like to say postpartum is forever. So even if you're not thinking you're postpartum anymore, but these interesting or weird, strange sensations or symptoms are coming up, they absolutely could be related to that time when you were pregnant or postpartum, even if it was 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. So it might be that you are feeling like you have this separation in your abdominal wall, in the front of your abdominal wall, and you're not sure how to fix that. It might be that you are leaking urine. It might be that you're just feeling like you have to go to the bathroom more often, or that you can't hold your bladder, or when you get to the bathroom and you felt like you really had to pee, nothing comes out. So that's confusing too. We can have symptoms of pelvic organ prolapse. You can have pain during sex, and there's different variations of that pain during sex or discomfort with intercourse. There can be pelvic pain and back pain, just a lot of different symptoms that can come up that all could be relating back to what we experienced with trauma during those times of our life in pre and postnatal.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned back pain as well, because I think a lot of people don't truly understand the impact that pregnancy can have on back pain in us. And I'd like to talk to you about, I think you call it the core four, right? Mm. Is that your terminology? I know there's lots of different ones out there. We follow lots of specialists, but I'd like to talk about the multividus and the TVA, diaphragm and pelvic floor in terms that we can understand as like women, not as specialists, and just try and give us an understanding of how breathing is so important as well.
Yeah. So the core four, I think that was a term that Bellies Inc. Coined, and they're a great group who does lots of pre and postnatal education for moms and trainers as well. So we talk about the core as being a whole piece of the body, not just one specific piece, but multiple pieces that work together. So we can think of the diaphragm, the abdominal muscles, the back muscles, and the pelvic floor at the base of the pelvis. All of this is our core. And I like to throw the glutes into the mix too, because they can be so key for our function of the body. So the core is not just the abdominal muscles. And I think that's where we can get a bit tripped up, especially if we are postpartum and we're trying to get back to fitness, or we're trying to make our bellies appear differently than they are. We're trying to flatten our bellies. It's not just your abdominal muscles. We need to think about the core from this whole perspective of being this trunk of the body that has a top with the diaphragm, a bottom with the pelvic floor, and then the abdominal and the back muscles that are supporting too. So this is so key what you mentioned about the breathing piece of the puzzle. This is where we usually start with a client in pregnancy or postpartum, especially making sure they are able to breathe in different patterns. Often, especially during and after pregnancy, we get stuck breathing into the upper chest and the shoulders, and we're not able to effectively send that breath lower into the rib cage, feel it into the abdominal wall, feel it into the pelvic floor. So there's not one perfect way to breathe, but we need to be able to send the breath to all these different areas of the body and not just being stuck up here, which tends to happen for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think if maybe people don't understand that the core four that you're talking about are all muscles, right? And I think that maybe people don't fully realize the diaphragm is a muscle as well. So the main thing that helps us breathe needs to be exercised. And I think that that's how I like to tell people about the diaphragm as well, is it needs to be incorporated into your training, because it really is part of the whole exercise workout, right? Mm-hmm. And I know that when people come to me with lower back pain, we know that the diaphragm's attached to the hip flexors. And that can have a big impact on lower back pain. So understanding that even just working on breath for any type of pain, especially in the lower back area, can be really helpful, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And we also know that there's so many factors that come into play when we're talking about pain, and specifically back pain. So it's not just a physical issue. There could be social and environmental issues that are happening too. But that's why the breathing strategies can be so key, especially in postpartum clients who tend to be heightened and feeling stress or anxiety or just like on the go. Their nervous system is always heightened. If we can use the breath to just chill things out, often that can have a positive impact on reducing pain as well, that are felt in the back or the hips.
Yeah. And so like the listener's going to be maybe post-pregnancy for a number of years, and you said that you should consider being postnatal, postpartum for the rest of your life after you've had children. So just say I have a woman who's listening, who's 50 years old, and she really doesn't feel like she has that core functioning, or she feels as though like her belly's gone, because that's often what I hear in menopause. And maybe she has got some pelvic floor issues. You know, there's a little bit of leakage and she really doesn't understand what's happening. Do you have any sort of, I know it's very specific area and it's very difficult to, we wouldn't possibly diagnose this, we're not pelvic floor physiotherapists, but if somebody came to you, do you have some general advice that you could give the person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said pelvic floor physiotherapist. That is first step with anyone that I speak to who is having issues that might be coming up. Go see a pelvic floor physiotherapist if you can access that in your area for an in-person session. They will be able to do an internal assessment and really figure out what's going on. If that's not an option, or you want to get started on some things in the meantime, absolutely there are things we can do. For my people, my clients, my moms, what we'll start with is looking at the alignment, the breathing, and how they are able to connect with their breath into the pelvic floor and the deep abdominals. So just super quickly, in terms of looking at the alignment, are you always stuck in one specific alignment? Are you always having your bum tucked under and you're gripping your glutes throughout the day? Is that your go-to strategy? Can you move? Can you lift? Can you breathe in other alignments of your body? And alignment really is just body positions. That's it. So biggest key point that I like to drive home with my crowd for alignment is just move through different body alignments often throughout the day. It's going to load the pelvic floor differently, and that is important for our body. Two, we already touched on the breathing, but ensuring that you can breathe laterally into the ribs and expand the rib cage front to back and side to side. And then number three, connecting to the core and pelvic floor. Do you understand how to create tension in the pelvic floor and the deep abdominals and then release that tension well too? Does that make sense in your body? And then we can go through cues to help people along with that. Those are really the first steps that we look at: alignment, breathing, and how we're connecting and releasing tension in the pelvic floor.
Yeah. And a lot of times that things like incontinence can be caused from internal stresses as well. And so it's getting that parasympathetic nervous system activated and just learning to just be at peace with yourself before you can start tangling. And as women, we do hold on to so much stress, right? I think we take on the stress of the whole family. Well, I do. So can we just talk about, just go back to what you said about understanding how to create that correct tension in the pelvic floor. Now, I feel like Kegels have been bastardized over the last like 15 years. We were told to like actively like grip really tight with our Kegels. And then we had that vagina woman that was going around walking with weights in her upper vulva or whatever. And so like, I feel as though we've literally like lost the meaning of what a Kegel is. And again, a pelvic floor physiotherapist is probably the best person to show you, because they can get you to do a Kegel while you're getting an internal, and that there's nothing beats that, because you've got that sensory like cue. But in general, what does a Kegel look like?
Yeah, this is such a great question. So a Kegel really is a pelvic floor contraction or lift, and then the release of that contraction. Where we can get tripped up with Kegels is we're told to do hundreds per day. We're told them to do them when we get to every stoplight or when we're washing the dishes. And we do tons and tons of reps, but there's no thought behind it, or there's no connection with the rest of the body. So we're just lifting the pelvic floor hundreds of times, and we often don't need that. That's not how we're going to create strength or better function in the pelvic floor. We need the pelvic floor to be supple. We need it to be flexible. We need it to absolutely gain strength and have endurance and lift and contract strongly. But then we need to allow it to chill the heck out too and calm down. It's like any other muscle in the body. We don't just want to keep contracting. We want some relaxation in order to build effective strength through it as well. So how I teach a Kegel is pairing it with the breath. So we talk about exhaling and lifting through the pelvic floor, and inhaling and releasing and allowing the pelvic floor to relax. So that is the very first step that I would start with when working with a client.
Right, so that's great. So as you breathe out, everything comes up, which makes sense, because if you think about what happens to the breath, your tummy goes in and everything lifts. And but you're saying that we don't need to be doing, like setting the timer and doing hundreds of them. It should be something we cue into. We cue into during the day. And it should come naturally, right? So the whole idea is you shouldn't have to think about the pelvic floor working, but there's sometimes the body gets lost and it just needs that retraining. And as with other exercises, we don't need to do them a million times during the day. We just need to have an awareness about them and just keep practicing. Mm-hmm. And is the contraction of the pelvic floor, is it an aggressive contraction, or is it quite subtle? Is there a way to sort of like give us a visual?
Yes. One of my mentors, Anthony Lowe, he has the best saying for this. He tells you to match the tension to the task. So if I'm doing a simple glute bridge, let's say from my back, the tension that I need in that exercise is not too aggressive. If I am doing a deadlift, picking 100, 200 pounds up off the floor, the tension that I need to create in my body in order to do that task is far higher. So I'm going to think perhaps about creating more tension through my whole body. And also maybe I'm going to cue into my pelvic floor lift a bit more strongly during that move, versus the glute bridge on the floor where I'm not under that much load. So it doesn't need to be this aggressive thing for most of our daily life tasks. But in exercise, when you are challenged, when you are under more load, it might be effective to think about creating more tension during the pelvic floor lift.
And then what about like everyday things like, because this is what you often hear is like, my kid jumped up at me and it made me go, ah, and then I peed my pants, or like I sneezed or I coughed and something like that. Is there anything you could, any like cues that people could remember just to say, okay, there's a sneeze coming and I don't want to like hold onto myself and cross my legs in the middle of the supermarket. Mm-hmm. That's when it happens to me.
yes. These are real life things that are happening and very commonly happening. Yeah. So this is a key point in talking about the pelvic floor. We don't just want it to be strong. We want it to be reactive and we want it to kick in when we need it to kick in. So if you know that a sneeze is coming on, I try to say you think about, that's a big exhale breath. When you sneeze out, you're wanting the pelvic floor to lift in order to support those structures of the pelvic floor to keep you dry. So you can think about that. You can visually think, air is going out, pelvic floor is lifting up. And honestly, I think it also helps to get into some specific alignments for people during sneeze or when the kid jumps on you, if you can manage to get into an alignment that is helpful for your body to handle that load prior to. But I always think that it is just helpful for people to think exhale on exertion. So exhale when there's any like load or challenge coming onto the body. It is usually a good first step into helping your body handle it.
And it's simple as well, right? Because there's nothing worse than, you know, God, what did she say? God damn it. She had that awesome saying. And, you know, we don't have that mental capacity right now. You said mum brain forever and whatever. And then so the idea of that just makes sense. It physically, you can look at yourself breathing out and see what it does to the body. And so I like the fact that you're keeping it simple. And I also like the fact that you're basically saying, I'm not giving you pelvic floor exercises. I'm telling you, your whole body has to react as a whole, and it's not just an isolation, right? And so that makes it a functional solution.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Pelvic floor exercises are really about training the whole body. Sometimes pelvic floor exercises look like lying on the ground and doing some focused work on just the pelvic floor and the breath, but we need to move on from that quickly because that's not what our life looks like, and that's not what the demands of our life are looking like for most people.
Yeah, I mean, if the physiotherapist gives you some exercises mm-hmm. like that just to get your cues back or to get your awareness there, then I think everything's got its merit, right? But it doesn't translate to walking down the street, does it, when you're doing everything supine?
Exactly.
And so I find that those cues really, really helpful. And so I think the first thing is, though, if it's at the stage where you really aren't coping, then go and see a physiotherapist, right? If a pelvic one that specializes in pelvic floor. Mm-hmm. And then really think about the body as a whole and then think about how impactful your breathing is. And I know, I see women, I see their necks all tense and their shoulders up. I mean, I think we constantly live in a state of that, don't mm-hmm. we? Yes. That's really helpful. And then do you remember you did a cue and I really liked it and it was about like a bowl of soup? Was it you that, oh no, the bell. Sorry, it was a bell. Mm. So I love your bell. So I've heard the bowl of soup and I've heard the bell cue. So can you give that analogy? Because I really like this for women who are struggling with understanding what a good alignment is or good posture is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the bell analogy I love, that's from Julie Weeb, who is an incredible physical therapist in the US. And she talks about thinking, if you think about a big bell, like a school bell, and how it, when it is sitting stacked top on top of bottom, it is quiet. If we ring the bell upwards, then we're going to be making some noise. And that could be perhaps symptoms that are showing up in the body. If we are constantly in this bell rung up position, and that would be, if we think about it, that in terms of our body and our rib cage, that would be the rib cage or the chest flaring upwards. So I always talk about it like if you are a person with boobs, if you point your boobs up towards the ceiling, that is what we're talking about in a bell rung up position. If we're talking about a bell rung down, that's when we are collapsing through the chest, through the back. And it is absolutely okay to be in those positions. It is okay to be in a bell rung up with the chest flared. It is okay to be in this slump position. We just don't want to live there all the time. We don't want to be exercising in that one position all the time. It's good to be, again, in various different alignments. But thinking about what I call stacked body alignment is just when that bell is quiet. It just stacked with the top over the bottom. And that is when we get our rib cage stacked over top of the pelvis. And in my mind, I just think about the diaphragm being stacked over top of the pelvic floor. That can give our core and our pelvic floor a good opportunity to be able to balance the intra-abdominal pressure in our trunk.
Yeah. And so if you are trying to cue into the awareness of your body, it might be worth trying to remember that analogy. Like if you're going to sneeze, try standing up and just getting yourself in a good position. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I really like that. So I'm going to talk about something now, and I don't particularly think there's a solution to this, but I just want to bring an awareness to it. And what it is I have a friend who is a social worker, and a lot of the ladies that come to her are in their 40s, and they chose to have a family later for whatever reason. And so they find themselves as new mums in their early 40s, but also going through these huge hormonal changes that seem to be happening post-pregnancy and now into perimenopause as well. And it's such a stressful time for them. It's one of those periods of time where they truly do feel lost and invisible. Chances are if they're 40 years old, they've already had like a full life, a good career, or there's going to be a dramatic amount of change there. Have you come across that in any of your coaching?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love this topic. I see more mums now who are 40s, early 40s having babies or second or third babies. And it is so interesting. I think it's such a different experience for them than lots of other mums that I'm working with who are late 20s, early 30s, even mid 30s. Just the whole healthcare experience for them in their pregnancies and birth is very different. And then again, returning to their once normal life, such big shifts that can happen there. And all those hormonal factors, I really should dive into the research of this a little bit more. I don't know specifically if there is any. I would perhaps doubt it at this point, but that is such an area of population that needs to be far better supported.
Yeah, and I feel like that's pretty much all I'm saying. I think it's we need to acknowledge that there's people out there, there's women out there, and they're not even recognized, so never mind supported. I don't even think people think twice about it. And I know that I felt like I was an older mom. I was 37 when I had my second kid, and that felt like, you know, like I felt like a pretty old mum at that time. And then I think to myself, I know women that are in 45 and having children, and it can only be a stressful time for them. Like, but maybe it also is a time for them just to appreciate life a little bit more as well, because they've lived so much, they're wise beyond their years, probably having these children. I would think that one of the things I would try to support them with is just the sense that, you know, they are more than capable. You know, life throws these things at us, and and things can be challenging. Pregnancy is challenging. Menopause is so challenging. Yeah, it happens. All happens for a reason, right? And I feel like at the end of it, like the light at the end of the tunnel is, we just come out more resilient than ever. I mean, women, we're going to take over the world, right? And so, yes. With our sturdy vaginas.
Yes. How can we not?
How can we not? Yeah. So, I just wanted to just talk about that. I actually don't really think there is a solution to that, but I know there's no support out there and there's no studies. I have looked. There's nothing out there really that even sort of monitors what is happening. I think it's so very new. I don't feel like I feel as though older mums have only sort of happened in the last 20 years or so, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But I just like to know that for them listening, that we are thinking of them, mm-hmm. and yes. we're here to support them, whatever they feel like they're going through.
Yeah, it's only going to become more common, so we need strategies around this.
Strategies to help them. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you found during motherhood for yourself and living in snowy Canada, Multitasking is just so difficult, right? You've got young children grabbing at your legs, and then you've got a business to run and you're busy with that. And then you also have to sort of like find time to exercise and move. Yes. And I want you to tell people about the solution that you've come up with, because you only launched it yesterday and I'm super happy for you. I think it's brilliant. I was saying to Jesse before the show, I think it's brilliant to the point where I was like, why didn't I think of that? tell me more. What did you make your poor husband do?
Yes. So we have a 2.5-year-old currently who is a little wild one. And I'm pregnant again right now with our
congratulations.
Second.
Congratulations. Now that you've owned it.
Yes, yes. So I just found last winter at this time, she was getting to be almost 18 months old and I couldn't get her to stay in the stroller for the life of me. She is super active, physically wants to move all the time. So we couldn't go for walks. And even if I could get her to stay in the stroller for 10 minutes with as many snacks as I could pack in there, it was cold. It's very cold where I live for many months of the year. And I just found that my walking time was getting less and less and eventually basically to nothing on many days during the winter. And I really love walking leisurely, strolling, listening to podcasts, using it as decompression and relaxation time. So I was missing that in my life. And I was telling my husband, Randy, that I needed a solution to be able to walk and work at the same time. We had a treadmill in the basement, so I needed a desk for the treadmill. So at nap time or after kiddo went to bed at night, I could just hop on, stroll, not have to think too much, and just do my work, coach my clients, answer emails. And so that's what we made. We made a portable treadmill desk, lightweight, comes on and off the treadmill really easily. That was important to us because we do use it for some sprint work. Randy likes to run on the treadmill. So there were other solutions in the market, but it was more so that you had to buy the whole treadmill and desk together. And we didn't need that. We just wanted the desk that was light and could come on and off easily. So we created a company called Type and Tread, and we just started selling these treadmill desks. And it has just been such a lifesaver in my work and my world. And I imagine it will be when number two comes into the picture as well. So yeah, it was just a way to combine my life tasks rather than adding more things on.
I think it's amazing. And I also think it might just be what people, women are looking for as well, because one of the things I am a big proponent of, and I said to you yesterday, this is neat. And one of the things I like to promote with my listeners is the concept of neat, which Jesse and I know about, and maybe you do if you're listening, but it's the non-exercise and the non-activity exercise thermogenesis. So I said that all the wrong way around. Non-exercise activity thermogenesis. Yeah, it stands for neat. Basically, it's all of the movement you do during the day. And just in life, we've become a sedentary nation and it's killing us. We need to get up and move more. And it's very rare that someone can set a timer on the phone every hour to get up and move and walk around, because you're like, yeah, I'll do it in a minute. I'm busy. Just doesn't happen. And so if you can combine the fact that you're going to walk and sort of get that activity in, it's so important for so many reasons, especially new moms, especially menopausal women. Walking is like the godsend to me. I just think it's awesome. So, well, good luck with that. I hope it does well. Are you going to be on Dragon's Den?
That's what everyone keeps asking us. Yeah, I think we'll see where it goes for sure. But yeah, we have some ideas and visions for it. And we're really just hoping that it helps support people and provides a solution for them and supports their physical and mental well-being as best as possible.
Yeah. And I think it's a great idea. Yeah. And it's portable, so you can take it to the local gym. I think so.
I know.
Take your laptop and your desk. Why not? That's awesome.
Basically.
You have to create a laptop holder underneath for portability.
Yes, exactly. I love that.
Oh, I'm full of great ideas. Just too late, obviously. So, Jesse, thank you for coming on. I really, really enjoyed speaking about that. And I just want, one of the reasons I wanted you on the show is really about the incontinence. I just wanted to tell women that they don't need to just think that if they've got incontinence, this is how it has to be. There are things you can try. There are people you can go to that you can trust, and there's things you can do at home. There's a lot of free information. You give a lot of free information out about this. I know that. So where can people find you if they want to read up on anything like this or get in contact with you? What's the or buy a Type and Tread? No, what's the best place to contact you, Jessie?
Mm-hmm. My website, jessiemundell.com, houses all the stuff. If you're looking for more information, lots of blog posts on there as well too, and how people can coach with me. And then on Facebook and Instagram at jessiemundell, and you can follow along my life with 2.5-year-old stay-at-home, work-at-home adventures.
With a pregnant mom.
Yeah.
I know. And I'll make sure that that link is in the description of the podcast as well if anyone wants to contact you. So thank you very much for coming on the show. That was awesome.
Thank you. So fun to chat with you.
Yeah, I know. It's easy, isn't it? Just sitting. I could sit and talk all day, I know, but I'm going to stop it now. And thank you to the listeners for tuning in, and I'll be back next week. Take care.